Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origine Podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we're diving into something that honestly blew my mind when I first read it.
Right? So we're talking about bacteria living inside tumors, which, okay, we knew that was a thing. But this new research from the Bulman Lab really changes how we think about what these bacteria are actually doing in there.
Yeah, and it's not just that they're hanging out. The study shows they're actively reshaping the tumor environment in ways that could help cancer cells survive chemotherapy.
Exactly. So the paper's called Tumor-Infiltrating Bacteria Disrupt Cancer Epithelial Cell Interactions and Induce Cell Cycle Arrest. It's published in Cancer Cell, and the lead author is Jorge Luis Galeano Nino, working with Susan Bulman's team.
And they're looking specifically at colorectal cancer and oral cancers. Now here's the twist. Most previous research suggested these bacteria were mainly inside the cancer cells themselves, right?
Right, intracellular. But what this team found is that in areas with high bacterial loads, the bacteria are predominantly extracellular. They're basically living in the spaces between cells.
That's huge. So they use these really sophisticated imaging techniques, spatial imaging and single-cell transcriptomics, to map exactly where the bacteria are in human tumor samples.
Yeah, and what they saw was fascinating. In these bacteria-rich areas, the cancer cells were more spread out, less densely packed, and they weren't proliferating as much. Lower Ki-67 expression, which is a marker for cell division.
So wait, the bacteria are making the cancer cells less active? That almost sounds like a good thing at first.
You'd think, but here's the problem. When cells aren't actively dividing, they're in what's called a quiescent state, kind of like they're sleeping. And quiescent cells are notoriously resistant to chemotherapy drugs like 5-fluorouracil, which target dividing cells.
Oh, okay. So the bacteria are essentially putting the cancer cells into a protective hibernation mode that shields them from treatment.
Exactly. And the researchers tested this in the lab. They co-cultured cancer cells with Fusobacterium nucleatum. That's the main bacterial species they focused on, and watched what happened in real time.
And let me guess, the bacteria started wedging themselves between the cancer cells, disrupting their normal connections.
You got it. They used this really cool live cell imaging, where they could literally watch the bacteria pushing the cells apart. The cancer cells that normally grow as a tight sheet started detaching from each other.
That's wild. And when they lose those cell-to-cell connections, they stop dividing and enter that G0-G1 arrest phase we mentioned.
Right. And here's where it gets clinically relevant. They exposed these cancer cells to 5-FU, removed both the drug and the bacteria, and then watched to see if the cells could recover.
And the ones that had been exposed to bacteria beforehand, they bounced back way better than the untreated controls.
Exactly. Even at moderate doses of 5-FU, the bacteria-exposed cells formed larger spheroids after treatment. At the highest dose they tested, 400 micromolar, there was no difference. But at lower, more clinically relevant doses, the protection was clear.
So this could explain why some patients with high levels of Fusobacterium in their tumors have worse outcomes and higher recurrence rates.
That's exactly what they looked at next. They analyzed data from 92 rectal cancer patients who received neoadjuvant therapy, that's treatment before surgery. Patients with higher Fusobacterium loads in their tumors were significantly less likely to achieve a major pathological response.
Wow. So this isn't just a lab phenomenon. It's actually happening in patients and affecting their treatment responses.
Right. And they also validated this in mouse models. They injected mice with Fusobacterium and saw the same spatial patterns. Scattered cancer cells, reduced proliferation, and these distinct bacterial microniches forming in the tumors.
I love that they used multiple approaches. Human samples, mouse models, cell culture. It really strengthens the findings.
Absolutely. And they did something really innovative with spatial transcriptomics. That's where you can see which genes are being expressed in individual cells while preserving their location in the tissue.
And what did that show?
So in the bacteria-rich areas, K67 cancer cells showed massive downregulation of genes involved in transcription and translation. Basically, they're in this metabolically quiet state. But they also saw upregulation of inflammatory genes, suggesting the cancer cells themselves are contributing to the immune response against the bacteria.
That's really interesting. So it's not just the bacteria affecting the cancer cells. The cancer cells are responding and potentially recruiting immune cells to these areas.
Exactly. And here's something else that's clinically important. The cancer cells in these bacterial niches showed reduced expression of antigen presentation molecules, HLA molecules, which could make them less visible to T cells.
So they're not only resistant to chemo, they might also be evading immune surveillance.
Right. It's like a double whammy. And they also found that these bacteria-associated cells had lower expression of potential CAR T cell targets, like EpCAM and EpHB2.
So this could have implications for immunotherapy approaches too, not just chemotherapy.
Absolutely. Now, one thing they were careful to point out, this doesn't mean bacteria are causing genetic mutations in the cancer cells. They did whole exome sequencing and didn't find a specific mutational signature associated with Fusobacterium exposure, at least in their short-term assays.
So it's more about the bacteria creating this protective microenvironment rather than directly damaging DNA.
Exactly. The effect seems to be primarily through disrupting cell-cell contacts and the signaling pathways that depend on those contacts. Things like MAPK, JAK-STAT, NF-kappa-B pathways.
And when they removed the bacteria, the cancer cells could reestablish those connections and start dividing again.
Right. Which suggests that if we can target these bacteria therapeutically, we might be able to resensitize tumors to chemotherapy. That's actually one of the big takeaways from this paper.
That's fascinating. So what would that look like? Are we talking about antibiotics?
That's one possibility, though they didn't test that directly in this study. But the authors did mention they have a patent application covering modulation of cancer-associated microbes. So there's definitely therapeutic interest here.
And I imagine it's not as simple as just giving antibiotics, right? Because you'd have to worry about disrupting the normal microbiome and potentially causing other problems.
Exactly. You'd need something targeted, and timing would probably matter too, maybe combining bacterial targeting with chemotherapy in a specific sequence.
So before we wrap up, what do you think is the biggest takeaway from this research?
I think it's that we need to start thinking about the tumor microbiome as an active player in treatment resistance, not just a bystander. These bacteria aren't just colonizing dead tissue. They're creating these specialized niches that protect cancer cells from therapy.
And the fact that this is happening with extracellular bacteria, not just intracellular ones, really expands our understanding of how microbes interact with tumors.
Right. And the clinical data showing that high Fusobacterium loads correlate with poor treatment response, that's something oncologists should probably be paying attention to.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. Thanks for breaking this down with me, Jamie.
Always a pleasure, Alex. And thanks to everyone for listening to the Origene podcast. If you want to read the full paper, it's in Cancer Cell, and we'll put a link in the show notes. Until next time.